So today I'm down in Brighton and it's a lovely Tuesday morning, sun's out and it's feeling positive, and it's only been made more positive by some messages from my next guest. My next guest is Paolo Di Tarso, and if you haven't heard of him, he has an amazingly rich stream and past of hospitality leadership, vision and passion. Paolo has worked all over the world in some of the best restaurants, including Corbin and King, Caprice Holdings, Dinex Group with Daniel Boulud, and having his own restaurant, Margot, where Al Pacino actually came along and dined. I've been so grateful to meet Paolo because even this morning he was sending me really positive quotes and tagging me into some great inspirational stuff on Instagram. And sometimes if you need a little boost and you see things like that, it really can turn your day around or turn your week around. So I think I've made a friend for life. We haven't met before. This is our first chat, and we were put in touch by Sarah Clark at Nine Yards Coaching. So thanks to Sarah for hooking us up. I feel that my life is going to be better for having Paolo in it. And I think you'll get an awful lot out of his stories from hospitality, how he got into it, working in New York, then across to LA, and then working all over the world and coming to London and making this his home. Apologies, there's a few football analogies, but try and stay with it. And I think you're going to get an awful lot out of this episode. And I would absolutely recommend following Paolo on LinkedIn and, of course, on Instagram to get a daily dose of positivity.
Supersonic.
Welcome to Supersonic Hospitality Marketing with me, Mark McSee, where we meet the most interesting people in hospitality, marketing, business, and beyond to hear tips, tricks, and tales to help your brand boom. This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. And now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Vita Mojo is proud to be the headline sponsor of the Supersonic Marketing Podcast. Vita Mojo transforms chaos into confidence for hospitality operators worldwide, empowering brands to streamline order management and take control of their business. With its flexible end-to-end order management system, Vita Mojo gives you one central place to manage your menu across every channel, brand, and location. But Vita Mojo is much more than an out-of-the-box software solution. The Vita Mojo team are with you every step of the way, providing the partnership you need, the technology you want, and the experience your guests deserve, all in one place. Vita Mojo will help you adapt to whatever the world throws at your hospitality business. For more information, visit vitamojo.com/supersonic.
So it gives me the most TED Talk-tastic pleasure ever to introduce my next guest, who is Paolo Di Tarso, ex-Margot Restaurant, Dinex Group, Caprice Holdings, Corbin and King, but now is restaurateur and founder at Paolo Di Tarso Hospitality. Hello.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really good. And as I said to you right off the bat, you know, you actually made my morning better. So, I've been stuck in the house for the last little while. I had a toe operation, which meant I couldn't really go anywhere. And this feels like one of the first days back. And I live in Brighton, just in front of the sea. And the sun's shining today. I've been up and about already, out and about doing some chore things. And we just connected on Instagram. And I just started to see this wave of positivity, good vibes, and it really rubbed off on me today. So thank you for that.
No, it's a pleasure. It's funny because I I love quotes. And I noticed that the stories, especially on Instagram, reaches a lot of people. And I get messages all the time. And just little quotes that can just start your morning a different way, whether it's, you know, it's nice when you start with the sunshine, but it's been so much rain lately. So I just always like to start my morning with, you know, what is my goal today? What's going to be like today? How do I start it? Yeah.
Well, just on that point then, how do you stay inspired and stay motivated, right? Because you can tell you're a super up person, and if you're not up, probably things aren't going so well. So yeah, how do you maintain that mindset, you know?
You know, I think it's something that is, you know, I would like to think is a mindset, but I think it's something that comes with your soul, with your spirit. Mm. I've been one of those guys that is happy-go-lucky kind of guys. I always look at the best in the world. You know, I always look at that, whatever. This is, you know, I know that we're here in on earth in order to grow and develop and become the best version of ourselves, and whatever is on our way, it will get better. So I've always been a big believer that, you know, there's going to be better days ahead. So let's stay positive, because it's going to come.
Yeah, no, that's ideal. And then we were chatting, and I'm sure there'll be a few football analogies through it, because football was such a big part and is such a big part of your life. And also, jealous, by the way, you know, being Brazilian and Italian, I'm Scottish and Northern Irish, so I'm like two of the worst football teams that I've ever been. So I mean we were talking about the mindset of Arsenal and Arteta and all that, but how that bleeds into business leadership general and also hospitality for you to be there for the fans or the guests.
Yeah, I think, you know, my staff is too, you know, especially the ones that didn't like football, whenever we did the briefing, you know, it's the half an hour that you get everybody, let's pump everybody up, let's go over the mistakes that we made from yesterday, you know, and that was the 30 minutes that everybody, you know, went around. And I think, you know, is the similarities between a restaurant, a company, or football is the same. I mean, it's you know, you have a big team, 28 players. Mm. You have egos. You have, you know, there's a plan, and you have this whole group of people that needs to perform, and they need to eat well, and so, you know, to get that going, I think Arteta has done an incredible job in the psychology behind it, because the players are amazing. But how many seasons that we were doing extremely well, and then at the end of the season we fell apart, and we fell apart because and not necessarily with the best teams in the league. It was, you know, it was just because we didn't have the mental capacity wasn't there. And you can see now the difference. They learn from all the mistakes, you know, and they are, you know, they're a contender today because of that. So I think Arteta, and it comes from the top, you know, it's everywhere from the CEO all the way to the person that's cleaning the boots. It's an energy that comes from everywhere.
Yeah. One of my old bosses actually at Barclaycard, Mark Ginella, ended up being the communications director at Arsenal for many years. And I remember years and years ago, I think he's just left lately, but years and years ago, it was really funny. I was watching, was it a cup final? Were you playing Reading or something years ago? And he was a Reading fan, really, but also an Arsenal fan. So he was torn, but it was so sweet when they won I'm sure it was against Reading, but they won the cup, and the first person Arsene Wenger ran to was him.
Oh, no way.
It was really sweet. It was just And then weirdly, my other boss from Barclaycard went to be the CMO at Chelsea. How weird is that?
You know, my boys have been very fortunate, because, you know, Ivan Gazidis is a close friend. So my boys pretty much were brought up sitting in the director box watching games, and they got to meet all those guys. And it's such an exciting, you know, it's a really exciting team, and the fans were amazing. And, you know, we've been in Islington since 2005, so we love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's a great stadium. And I went to see Scotland v Brazil there.
Oh, yeah. Someone's at the game.
Yeah. And then Neymar kept diving. And then
Yes, I remember that.
And then I think, was it not a group of German supporters threw a banana at him, and Scotland fans got the blame of it, but then it all got cleared up.
Oh, really?
Like, and
oh,
Scotland no. fans just aren't like that. They're too drunk to be racist. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're too worried about standing up straight, never mind attacking someone, you know.
That's why I've been to Scotland. I mean, Edinburgh, the only place I've been.
Yeah.
I went to visit Tom Kitchen when we were there with our family. Mm. And I love your country. I love the energy. I love the people. And yeah. I mean, just listening to you talk is just amazing. Everything about you guys are great. So yeah, I don't see that happening either.
Yeah, we're nice people. We're nice people, I think, for sure. You know, the odd bad one, I suppose. But yeah, it's very good. So I was just thinking, I've sent you all these questions like I usually do, but I never really do them in order or anything like that.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Something that just sprung into my mind was we were talking about the shifts and how to set up for the perfect shift and all that. Going back to Caprice and Corbin and King, what did that look like at the time? And, you know, and how did you set up for, you know, the perfection that was, you know, those two restaurants? And then also, you know, what were the main sort of learnings that you from those?
I love your questions that you sent. And this question that you just asked now, it's perfect. Wow. You know, it's funny because I came from Los Angeles, California, and coming here, I was pretty established.
Mm.
And when I got here, I remember going to the Ivy and I met with the HR director. And she said, we don't really hire managers. You got to start as a head waiter.
Mm.
And to me, it was one of those things where I went, I don't care. I don't mind. I always been that person. I didn't care. So I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have anything for me. And I went to work at Daphne's, the Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I met a few people like Jesus Adorno that told me, Paulo, you really have to meet Jeremy King and Chris Corbin.
Yeah.
And I was there for about 6 months. And I went to meet Jeremy King. They offered me a position of being maitre d', something that I've never done before. And I said, no, you have to, you know, the way you are and you have this great energy. I think that's something that you could do really well. And the question is so great because in America, I think the technical ability of what we do in hospitality, in restaurants, in Europe is way better. But what in America we have that is different than here, I'll give you an example. In America, I'll hire I would hire you because your attitude, the way you behave. If you have a good attitude, you know, I mean, it's almost like if you have kindness in your heart, if you're optimistic, if you want to learn and you're willing to do that, you know, it's what Danny Meyer says. There's no point of me having this incredible CV and hire someone that doesn't have kindness in his heart, is not going to be part of the team. So for me in America, we hire with personality. And if you go to restaurants in America, they're very sparkly. They have a nice energy. A lot has to do also because, you know, the tip that comes from each table goes directly to them. So they have to perform. But majority of the time, they're just kind people and they're just trying to do something nice. Mm. What I noticed when I first came to London, I noticed that the beautiful technical ability, the way they open the door, the way they hold things, the way they hold the bottle, the way they pour the wine, the tables, the maintenance, everything was beautiful.
Yeah.
But how often I remember going to, you know, incredible bar with my wife when we arrived and the bartender was robotic.
Yeah.
He didn't really speak. He didn't know how to do that. I'll take you to a bar in New York, and the bartenders were amazing. It's automatically they know how to talk to you. Good afternoon. How
That's
are
the
you?
Best.
They have a self awareness. They know everything. So this is what I noticed. So when I start working at the Woosley, I understood. I was like, I have the formula. Yeah. You have to have that technical ability and to the performance that everybody's expecting, plus being nice and sparky and knowledgeable. And then all of a sudden, you're matching the two. That marriage is what I created, and is the marriage that I love, because people go to a restaurant, you know, they go to eat, of course, but, you know, it's about how you make people feel. Sure. That is what it's all about. You can have the best food in the world. Human beings are loyal and they're forgiven when you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But if you have the perfect attitude, it just goes well.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to unpack in that. And I think, you know, I'm reminded of an example when I was at school. You know, I was a kind of okay, good student, but a couple of the boys went, you know, to try and get into Oxford, Cambridge, whatever, and they were straight A students and all that. But they never got the place because they didn't have the social aspect to their personality. So you can be, you know, and I think the other thing as well is, you know, thinking about something I've done lately, I created a thing called Hospitality Rising.
I'm so proud of you for that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Much you've raised and what you're doing. That's exactly what we need. Initiatives like that. Welcome to you.
Yeah, no, thank you. But just as you're saying, I feel that recruitment for blue collar workers is broken, by the way, but recruitment for hospitality is broken, and it should be as easy as ordering a Deliveroo. And to me, it's a psychological hire. What do you care what school they went to? You know, if someone comes in, you know, we're the place for the people that don't conform, you know,
exactly.
Don't want to be in an office and don't want to sit in a cubicle and, you know, and so, yeah, so, you know, I was really just thinking about that when you were talking, because technical stuff you can teach.
I love what you said, because, you know, most of the CVs there, you're looking at it. Mm. That person that put all that together, it's not even them.
No.
It's not even them, right? So now, you know, I got you a point, and I'm gonna brag a little bit about it. When we built Barbalu, we hired the best team there was. Mm. It was incredible. And we sat with every single individual, and those are the questions that we were asking. What's in your heart?
Yeah.
What's in your heart? Mm. Talk to them. Look them in the eyes. What do you feel like doing? And sometimes we even look. I think you might start it here, but you're coming. But you might want to be a host, or you might want to do that. So I think the important thing you first need to sit down with them and listen to what they have to say. Mm. Look at the CV and guide them towards what is the right path for them. And then one thing that you really have to do. I remember when we were really, you know, this is what happened. Our team was so incredible there that everybody started poaching our team.
Right.
And I remember Daniel Boulou told me, "What is wrong with you? Why are you so upset?" I'm like, "Chef, they're stealing all our staff."
Yeah.
And Chef goes, "Paulo, so your job is to multiply them. Pull your head down and multiply them."
Yeah.
And that was the best advice I received. Really? I went, okay, so this is what we do. You know, because Barbalu, you know, nobody knew about Chef Daniel in Europe. He's famous in New York. We created an incredible team. You know, you have dinner by Heston upstairs, who is one of the best chefs in the world.
Sure.
You know, and then we're in a basement. We have our own door, but we don't have the best car. We don't have everything. But what we had, it was great food and a great price.
Yeah.
And we were incredible at our service, and we were kind, we're loving, we anticipate, we knew what we're doing, and we create it was a perfect example of what it is when you put knowledge, love, kindness, and everything comes together, and that place, you know, it was perfect. So you got to listen to your staff, and you got to hire, and what you said that was perfect. You know, psychologically, if you look back, the people that are in hospitality, they've tried everything. They end up in retail. They don't want to be up 8 hours on their feet because they're spending 80% of their paycheck on the retail. They're buying all the clothes from the shop. So they come to hospitality because it gives them a little bit more flexibility. You know, they get paid a little more. They can be with people. And so, you know, I think it's really important. We kind of hire people and we forget to guide them.
Yeah. And you know, what you're saying about multiplying people, you know, I'm just going back to football again, but I'm thinking about where I am right now, Brighton. And the Brighton team, you know, just getting bought by Chelsea all the time. You know, we're just keep bringing in great managers, keep bringing in great players to Brighton football team, and Chelsea buy them all. So, yeah, so I think it is about having that scouting mentality, you know, that you've got that academy of succession coming through is definitely the thing. So just going back then, what hooked you on hospitality? You know, you were early, Brazil, Italy, or, you know, what was the first move into it?
The first move into it was the craziest move, which is a friend of mine, Francisco Silva, was an architect. Mm-hmm. He was moving to New York to open a coffee shop in Brooklyn on Franklin Avenue. Mm-hmm. He knew he had a friend who was half Brazilian, half American, and together they were going to open a shop. And joking around, I told him, I want to come with you. And he said, yeah, come. And I told my family, and all of a sudden my family allowed me to go. So we go to New York. We open this little coffee shop in Brooklyn. And the process of opening the coffee shop was amazing. Finding the location and then signing the deal, because I had to be with them everywhere because my English was pretty poor. And so I was always with Francisco and Edna in signing the deal and then designing the place. And we were there from, we woke up at 5 a.m. We were there until 11 at night or 12 midnight every day. And then all of a sudden we built a place and then people are coming in, trying our coffee, trying our cake, asking where we're from, because we're an odd couple. You know what I mean? I'm like 15, 16 years old. Francisco is 30 years old, completely different backgrounds. But I fell in love with the process. I think the logistics of when the shop opens and people walk in and they go, oh, where are you guys from? I'll have a coffee and I'll have a piece of that cake. And they come back and they're bringing their friends or their kids. Yeah. It was something about community. It was something about connection. It was something about creating something, it's like that movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
I think I was hooked right there.
Yeah. And then from coffee, then starting to go into restaurants.
Yeah.
And another coast as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We were there for about a little over a year. And then Francisco decided to go back to Brazil. So Edna, his partner, wanted to be with him as a couple, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So he went back, and I stay, and it was kind of scary because I was so young and I only had a certain amount of money. And I called my grandfather and I asked my grandfather, look, what should I do? And my grandfather was very pro-American. He goes, listen, you are in one of the best countries in the world. There's nothing here for you. Stay there.
Yeah.
And I remember next day, I was walking around everywhere. I didn't really have a CV or anything. So I found a job at a dishwasher at a Japanese restaurant in Soho, which lasted 6 months. I worked crazy hours. I remember taking the rubbish out and they put glasses on these two bags that they were not meant to. And I cut both of my legs.
Oh.
And the next morning, they fired me. It was a shock to the system. So I was fired literally because I cut both my legs. And I remember patching up my leg and I got a New York Times and I went through the section of jobs and I found the job at Columbus Avenue. I went there, interviewed, nice. Got the job. And from there, being a busboy, I really learned that I remember getting paid the first time. It was a group of five waiters and everybody came and gave me $40, $50. And I went, oh my God,
I can make
all this money by getting tables ready, serving coffee and iced tea and being kind and serving bread. And I go, wow, the next steps, what is the next steps? So I just knew that if I focus and I was determined that, okay, my next step is head waiter and then head waiters and then junior assistant manager. And I knew that I could grow. And then there was a spark about I think it's the same feeling that an actor will probably get on mm-hmm. Broadway or in the West End. Every day is different.
Yes.
It's almost like life. Every day it gives you an opportunity to be the best version of yourself. And it doesn't matter what mistakes you made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time that you start your morning and you do everything right and the doors open and you have that crazy service for 2.5 hours and then you shut down, you open for dinner. And I love the feeling that it didn't matter what happened that day.
Yeah.
The next day could be a little bit better.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge thing, you know, because you can, if you're in that routine, you could go in with a mentality of, oh, it's the same old. And it depends what version of yourself you bring to work, as you say. And I remember, I think it's McLaren F1, the headquarters, they've got a big white light tunnel before you go into the head office. And that's meant to clear you of all your external
thoughts,
you know, so that when you're at McLaren, you're fully McLaren, you know, which is a little bit of like a cult or something, but you know, but in terms of that mindset to just, you know, press that reset button, doesn't matter about yesterday, doesn't matter that your kid's been late for school or something's happened or your dog's sick or just, you know.
I love that. I love that you mentioned that because I should tell my staff that all the time. You know, if you look at the pro, I love tennis and I love football. You know, when they put that jersey on and they go to that tunnel, and they're on the pitch, they're not thinking about anything else. Their main focus is hard to do, but pros, they leave their problems behind, because I tell my staff, look, we all have problems.
Yeah.
Whether we have to move or we don't have enough money to cover our rent or this is happening, but the minute that you're here, since this is your bread and butter, let's make the best of today. Let's be the best version of ourselves. Let's serve our clients. Let's anticipate. Let's think about how can we improve. And also, you know, for me, I used to tell my staff on the hire process that we were talking about, look, I'm not a 5-star hotel. I don't have everything perfect. You're going to get a little locker room, a little space. Our food is great. Would you make spend a lot of money on food? Your uniform is really nice, but you got to look after. You got to dry clean, you press and look yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you 50%. You give me 50% of yourself and combined, we're hundreds.
Yeah.
I promise you that you want to develop, you want to grow, you want to learn, but a lot of it has to do with you. Yeah. You got to be knocking on the door going, look, I'm a bus boy. I want to be a chef de rang. I want to take orders. And how much money is that? And then when you're there, I want to be a head waiter. At Margot, we never promote, we never hire a head waiter from outside.
Yeah.
You had to start as a chef de rang, and whether it will be 3 months or 6 months is up to you to pass all your tests. It's up to you to know the food knowledge. It's up to you to know everything about the environment, and then you get promoted. So I think today, don't get me wrong, a lot of people, they wanted to start at the lobby. And I used to say penthouse, but it's not the penthouse. It's the White House. And then if you skip and you became the president of a country, when there's a turmoil, everybody's going to be in that room. All those people, generals and everybody waiting for you to make a decision.
Yeah.
And you cannot make that decision because you don't have the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody wants to arrive, but the journey is the best part.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. And you know, you see it a lot. I mean, I'm more work in brand and marketing and that kind of thing. But you do see it a lot with the younger generation where it's just like, you know, it's not being an old man. It's just sort of fact that they want to be a director tomorrow. They want to make 80 grand tomorrow. They want, you know, and you're trying to say to them, look, you know, it's not that I feel they should do the same amount of time that I have, you know, 25 years or whatever, but, you know, at least do half of that and I'll try and help you not make the same mistakes that I have to get you there faster. Like, I really want to help you.
Love that.
But at the same time, you can't be in 3 years and expect to be marketing director. It's just, you know, because as you say, when the bullets are flying, you won't know what to do.
It's impossible because it comes with experience. Let's say same thing with football. You can't speed playing under 12s and now you want to be a professional. Would you do that? You won't be able to do that. You got to go through the rankings. That's why I love like places like Wimbledon. You can be like a nobody and you somehow got into this, and now you're playing with the pros, and now you're gonna really feel how it feels to play with the pro.
Yeah, yeah.
And those balls are coming 140 miles an hour, and you're going, wow, I'm not ready for this. Yes, you're not ready for that because, you know, you got to go through the process. And I really love the rookie system, and whether it's in baseball and in the firefighter community. You know, when you're the rookie, you cook all the meals, you clean the beds, you do what you're meant to do because that's your process. Same thing, you know, with me. You know, a lot of people probably won't like this, but a lot of people want to work from home. Look, the opportunity of coming out of your house, riding your bike, catching the train, going to your coffee shop and saying hello to Sergio. Sergio, I'm going to have the flat white. Getting into the office, see all your friends there. The opportunity of like meeting people that you never met in your life. Yeah. You're blocking life from happening.
Yeah. 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 That's a huge point. And I think it's hard. And it's also... what would you say, almost double standards, hypocritical, certainly in hospitality, because if you work for a hospitality group in a management role, let's say it is support office, head office, whatever you want to call it, if it's a bigger group, the fact that you get to work from home and the people on the floor don't, you know, it doesn't sit that well with me. And then the other thing is, it happened to me lately because I've been recovering from this tour. And, you know, I was just stuck in the flat and I was like, oh, you know. And then I was talking to my mate in Scotland and I said, I've had the best day. I said, I went to a meeting down in Folkestone and I got to sit on a sort of board type thing with a holiday company down there. And I said, I've just came back really energized. And he was like, of course. He said, you get your energy from other people. And he was, you know, and I was like, oh, all right. But I think since COVID and stuff, it's just the pendulum swung too far the other way. I think pre-COVID, the world was madness and crazy busy, and taking that respite, there's balance to be found in that. But I think actually looking at it, I don't think I'm any good with balance. I think I just need to be 100 miles an hour. And also, yeah, he's right. I absolutely get infectious, you know, good energy from other people or Instagram posts or whatever it is.
Exactly, but you know, I was fortunate enough to do a keynote speech for a group on Monday in Richmond, and I walked in right on time in order to sit down in the chair and do this speech and Q&A. These people there were so beautiful. I met so many incredible people, and we exchanged cards, and I got so many emails. Oh, thank you for being honest and sharing. And I was very vulnerable. I even cried a couple of times, which I wasn't ready to do. But it was special. It felt good. So I think being out and about, you know, I wasn't that very good at school, but I was good with people. I was good with sports, and the school of hard knocks, going from Brazil to New York, New York to California, California to this incredible country, you know, England, Great Britain. It's the university. You learn so much, and with human beings, what made me incredible at my job and good at my job was being with people working in Beverly Hills. That was my best school ever because I was dealing with different movie stars, movie producers, difficult people, and it's really difficult people. And you learn so much. So I think, you know, it's okay. I mean, some jobs I think it's okay to work from home, but get out there, go experience life, be life, you know, and for me, that's really important.
It's huge. Just on that point, any good movie star stories?
I got a lot. I'm not able to share most of them.
Yeah, oh, I bet.
But I'll tell you a beautiful story. I working in Beverly Hills. You know, I was Al Pacino was my favorite actor. Al Pacino came to this restaurant where I worked, and I couldn't breathe. I was going crazy inside my body. and completely overwhelmed, but I never react, because if you do, they notice. So you don't react that you're excited. Mm. But when I hand them the bill to him, I looked at him and I said, "Don't you talk to me like that." And I did a little Scarface expression. So this is a long time ago. When I opened Margot, he was at Margot and he came in. So we went from, what a journey from being a waiter at a restaurant to then he comes into my restaurant, Margot.
Oh, my God.
I spoke to him. I talked to him. And what I regret today, I should have told him that story.
You should have.
I know. And I didn't, because on the way out, he had a big crew and a lot of security. And I walked out with him. This is what he said to me. I said, "Listen, I've been dining all over the world, and this place was the place you made me feel so comfortable, and I felt so protected. And thank you so much for putting all the effort to making me feel good."
Wow.
And that made me happy. But I really wish I told them I was that young waiter that looked after you and did that.
But
that story, it will stay with me forever, because Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, my favorite actor.
For sure.
And I mean, you know, there's more Morgan Freeman and a lot of people that I love. Yeah. But that story is the one that stays with me.
But listen, we talked about fate before and all these, I've got a feeling that chapter's not closed yet, you know? You might get another chance at that, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. I would love that.
And what's the sort of difference then between the LA dining scene, New York and London? What are the differences that you've seen?
New York is so massive.
Mm-hmm.
Even when with all due respect, when I came to London, there was a lot of restaurants, but if you look back when I came, 2005, it was, you know, Chris Corbin, Jeremy King, Richard Kering was just kind of recently coming on the scene, mm-hmm. Then you have...
And you have
the Michelle Rue, mm-hmm. you have Nico, and the same clientele are kind of like all going out to the same places. It wasn't really this big thing that it is now. If you track to now, and you have so many groups and so many companies and international chefs. Even when I came on, leaving Scott's to go to open Barbalou with Daniel Boulud, it was a major thing. It was Mandarin Oriental, open Heston, Dinner by Heston with Heston Blumenthal and Ashley Palmer Watch, which is a close friend of mine.
Yeah. I think Ash is coming on the podcast, actually, I think.
Oh, no.
At some point, yeah.
Oh, nice. Ash and I, we climbed Kilimanjaro. Together.
I saw in your tent, which we will talk about in a minute. But that made my ears prick up when I saw that. Yeah.
So when I came here, if you didn't go to these restaurants that I just mentioned, you went to a lot of restaurants that the food was poor, the service was not up to par, up to standard, and especially customer service was not all there at all. Where I think in New York, there was the quantity. It was a lot more restaurants doing all the right things, especially groups like Danny Meyer, who he started in 1986 when he was 28, 27, but I think there was a lot better restaurants in New York City when I first moved here. That has changed dramatically. I mean, you look back, we told you, excuse me, but, 25, 35, 40 years ago, you come to London, it was pie and fries, fish and chips.
Angus Steakhouse?
That's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now you have, Alan Ducasse, you have the best chefs in the world. You have Chris Corbin, Jeremy King, that's done amazing with the group. And now, Jeremy just opened Arlington,
yeah.
It's sad that Michelle Rue has closed Le Gavroche, but, there's a lot of restaurants, there's a lot of great things, and it's still, growing and developing. You have, Ruffles, Peninsula Hotel that just opened. Mm. So I think now we're very equal. And I think we're in my opinion, it's the best country in Europe to the dining scene, to eat and hotels and customer service also.
Yeah.
a creative agency for the hospitality sector, Saved by Robots create compelling brands and memorable experiences through great design and engaging storytelling. From Scottish Restaurant of the Year Sugar Boat to Tipjar, the digital tipping platform that's taken over the world, Saved by Robots excel at bringing ideas to life. As well as developing new concepts and refreshing existing brands, the robots provide outsourced graphic design to help multi-site operators grow with confidence. Check out their work and get in touch at savedbyrobots.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Lucy, Head of Sales at Airship & Toggle. Hopefully you've heard of us before, but in case you're not sure what we do, let me bring you up to speed. Airship is a leading hospitality marketing CRM, supporting operators by building a better understanding of their customers' visiting habits to help them target, personalise and automate their marketing and deliver a return on investment. And Toggle, which is our gift card platform and generated a whopping £48 million for the sector in 2023 through the sale of prepaid gift cards, experiences, tickets, merchandise and so much more. I'm here to tell you a little secret though. Airship CRM have a huge update coming, which is going to change hospitality marketing in 2024, making it faster and stronger than ever before. If you want to learn a little bit more before we launch, just get in touch with me on lucy@airship.co.uk, or you can visit our website to learn more about what we do for hospitality at airship.co.uk.
Just thinking about your career so far, you know, are there milestones and achievements? You know, what are the things that you're looking at most fondly? You know, from, you know, what was your sort of biggest real, you know, look, punch in the air moment?
I'll tell you this. I fell in love with Daniel Boulud. Mm. Daniel Boulud and I became very close. Mm. But what I noticed with, you know, successful people like Daniel Boulud, Danny Meyer, they're here to serve. They're here for service. They're ahead of time. They're 50, 100 years ahead of time of most human beings, and everything they do is thoughtful and is kind. So being able to go to Barbaloo and achieve what we achieved there in 6 years, you know, it was about pure hospitality. We had an incredible chef driving us, with, you know, for me it's about incredible ingredients, value for money, good service, and making people feel good. You know, my favorite quote is from Maya Angelou: "People forget what you said, people forget what you did, but people never forget how they make you feel."
Yeah,
Daniel made me feel important. He gave me the opportunity to be the driving, you know, that team and creating something special. And the team that we had there was really special. I think I was able to, you know, from going to from America to the Woolsey to Scots at Barbaloo, I was able to really put the touch in all the things that I believed in. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really special for me. Yeah. Opening my restaurant was really important because then I was able to, from a maitre d', to really put, you know, create the concept. Margot is my mother-in-law, you know, putting the every, you know, it's directing your movie for the first time. You know, and although that, you know, a lot of it, I think at the time was driven by my ego. I you know, my mother used to say, open a sandwich shop, open, then you start doing pastas and then you start doing coffee and bakery. Why do you have to compete with all those people? Why do you have to spend this much money in a restaurant like this?
Yeah.
And I wish I listened to her, but we didn't. But, you know, Margot was incredible. We had the best chefs in the world. You know, we won a lot of awards. It was a big achievement for me. And I wanted to, you know, for me, it was always the dream that Margot was the dream. It was, you know, opening my own restaurant was always the dream.
Yeah. I mean, I get asked all the time, you know, would I ever open a place? And I'm like, it's just such hard work, you know, for people. And, you know, I think I've always been on the outskirts of hospitality, not in it. So I wouldn't have a clue what I was doing. I think I would have opened, like I was saying to you earlier, off mic, I'd opened the little Scottish shop in Islington, you know, Old Hag, I think it's called. So yeah, of square but sausage, iron brew.
But that is the beautiful thing from that little shop. Because people don't quite understand, because I, you know, it's wearing both hats, you know, being an employee and being a business owner. And it's different because there's so much pressure that you're taking on. But that's how I start, opening a little shop. Next thing you see, you're doing something else. Next thing you see, you're adding more things on the menu, or more pies or different types of pie. And it's how you grow and develop. Restaurants, you know, is the same thing. It's just, you know, there's millions of components that you have to put everything together, and the harmony and the energy that you put into it. But it's a beautiful learning curve, because you learn so much. You know, I've learned a lot, because I remember, you know, I was very disciplined. I could be very difficult. I can be, you know, all over you. And then you got to, you know, because you're taking all the pressure. And at the same time, you need to, you know, I've learned a lot over the years, especially at Margaux. It's like when, you know, it's easy when you're working for Daniel Boulud and Mandarin Oriental, where all the pressure is taken. But when it's yours and you're responsible for, you know, there's a different behavior. And that's why I remember, you know, I was always going to, you know, to events to learn more about becoming a better leader, because it's not easy, you know, being a leader and a business owner and have to take especially pressures. Like, remember when we had Brexit, you know, we just opened, and all of a sudden, you know, Parmesan cheese, olive oil, everything is going up, and you're like, how am I going to do this? And your staff morale is everybody's upset, and we're not welcome here. And so it's going back to that team, right? You get the Neymar of this world, the Messi of this world, and you got all this talents, and you got to really like put everybody in together. You know, Arteta's job is not only to train them and make sure that they're the best versions of themselves every day on the pitch, but psychologically, things happen that you need to overcome. And, you know, having a business is, you're never, you know, it's 24/7. You don't have time to, you know, you got to constantly develop and become better and better and better. That's what it's all about. But it's so rewarding. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I get told I worked at Yo Sushi for a while in the marketing department, and Robin there said to me, and I say it often, that I was getting paid to make people happy, you know, and that's always stuck with me, you know what I mean? Because I've worked in other industries, you know, worked in e-com and, you know, travel and finance and music and all these things, but, you know, hospitality doesn't pay the best. You know, if you wanted to make money, I would have stayed at the bank, but, you know, there's something in it that you know, it just feels like such a nice, you know, industry to be in, and everyone's so sharing, so caring, so lovely. And we're a bit of a gang and a force to be reckoned with. And we all really love it and respect each other, you know, and no other industry's like that.
No, it's you know, it's beautiful, and people don't quite understand.
No,
we you know, it's once you get in it. I mean, if you look over what happened COVID times, you know, who was out there working and helping people? It was, you know, apart from the doctors and nurses and everybody else and the police enforcement and all that, it was hospitality. Yeah. It was chefs. It was people creating, you know, making sandwiches or good, you know, it's a beautiful industry. And, you know, I believe that we're all here to serve, whether you're a doctor, whether you clean the streets, transport, whatever it is, we're here to serve. And it's like fire is like breaking bread for me. I use the expression breaking bread. Yeah. It's something very spiritual about eating. It's very spiritual about serving something to somebody, you know, the nourishment. And it's something really beautiful about hospitality, you know, making people feel better. I love making people feel better. You know, they walk into your place, you don't know what people are going through. Yeah. You don't know what's happening through their day. You don't know what challenge there are. So, you know, one of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird. You never judge a human being until you walk in their shoes. Mm. But hospitality is very powerful. Mm. And hospitality, unfortunately at this time, we're in this country, we are trying to get our government to respect our industry of 19, 20 billion pounds, because it's just, you know, I would love to see, I just recently had a meeting with 12 MPs, but sit in a room. If you're coming from anywhere in the world with your wife and kids, you stay in a hotel. That's hospitality. You wake up in the morning, you have breakfast. That's hospitality. You go to a theater. That is another form of hospitality. You're going to have a bite to eat, pre-theater, post-theater. Everything is due to hospitality. So the way we cater for all the people that come from all over the world in our country, it tells who we are.
Yeah.
You know, if you look back at Olympics in 2012, oh my God, we looked after everybody. Yeah. The way people behave in the tube, the way people behave everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that was only for the time of the Olympics?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? What? So why can the transportation, you know, for me is, wow, I mean, they need to be a little bit more customer service oriented, which they're not. Yeah. And here we are, you know, what about teachers and nurses? Why and police now more than ever, the crime rate is going up. Why can't we put money aside for them? You know, I don't want to get political, but you know, so hospitality, we're always there. So, you know, we need someone to go, look, we need to support these guys because they deserve it. You know, independent business owners going out there and risking everything they have, you know, the support needs to be there. And I think we're a beautiful industry.
Yeah. And I think people won't realize until it's gone, you know, so I think, you know, people will be like, oh, I used to love that little whatever. And then, you know, not that there's anything wrong with chains, but all you'll be left with is chains, you know, and that's, you know, and then also people will be viewing the sector and go, well, don't want to invest in it because it's a high risk, therefore, you know, so, you know, consumer choice is going to go down and then they'll only be moaning about it and wanting to support when it's almost too late, you know.
I love what you said there. That was perfect because I remember moving to Islington in 2005 on Upper Street that every single business was independent. Yeah. Now, you can't afford to be there. I just screw fix just open. Nothing that's wrong with the company, but it's, you know, independent. I mean, I love shopping at John Lewis and I go there because I love what that company represents.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with Amazon because you get for the right price and it delivers the next day. But what's going to happen? Everywhere you go now is a shopping mall. Yeah. You know, I remember going to São Paulo, Brazil. They had a brand new airport and there was one Brazilian shop that I could buy something. You know, everything else was American or from a different country.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's going to be tough. And then just another thing I was going to talk to you about, a couple more things, then I'll let you go. But your TED talk, which was fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Watched it on my big TV and enjoyed it a lot. And you got very emotional in it. Just want to talk a bit about that. A, how did it all come about? And B, you know, for anyone wanting to watch it, what was the main themes throughout? You know, what's the takeaways?
Listen, I thank you very much. I was so emotional. I it's one of those things in life where 2020 happened. I stepped away from Margot. COVID is happening. I remember, you know, going down downstairs and hiding. All the boys are doing school and I'm like, wow, what's really happening? And I became very creative and I created a concept that I always wanted to do. And I was looking at myself in the mirror going, what do I do now? And I was very fortunate to get this phone call where I'd been asked to do TED Talk. And funny enough, it was my favorite thing. I've been watching TED Talks like everywhere. And I just love, it's like, oh my God. And it was nice because I think it was the first time that I was able to tell the story about, I always tell people the story about me being starting as dishwasher. And I never talked about the part of me starting a coffee shop in New York. But I think for me, I use as a vehicle to tell, for me, it's always been about inspiring. You know, I always had this in the back of my head, you know, hospitality is the most powerful business tool that is not taught in school and it should be.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can take The shelf life innovation now is so quick. It's 5 seconds that people will copy what you do.
Sure.
But what you're not going to copy what I do is the way I make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I used a platform, and I'm glad you liked it, to tell people that it's only through hard work and perseverance, mm-hmm. and really doing what you love, find what you love. The reason you see, incredible talented people doing beautiful things out there is because they love the craft.
Yeah.
And once you love what you do, it's easier for you to go through that road. That road of life is a struggle. Yeah. We're not meant to be here and it's going to be Disneyland every day. It's about dealing with life, and life is throwing curveballs at you all the time. So find what you love and go after it. Use all your energy and ability, and I know it might be difficult. You might have to have 2 jobs, 3 jobs, and pay your bills and do all that. But I think that what I've learned is that, the road of life, it's do what you love. Go after the things that you love. And then, find a mentor. Find someone that can give you some guidance. Today, you have podcasts. You have people like you doing incredible things. But, I read a lot of books. I was intrigued to learn. I was curious about things. Don't be afraid to raise your hands up and ask a stupid question. More questions. Don't be afraid. I wish people told me this before. When you fail or something, our brain is so perfect. If you fall automatically, your body will pick yourself up,
yeah,
and you stand up. And you continue. You don't fall and just stay down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand that the famous actors that went to 600, interviews, auditions before they even got a little break.
Yeah.
So that happens in every field. But now people look at Messi or look at people, that are already there. Look at his story. Started a long time in order to become that person that he's meant to be. So, if you don't have a hero or someone that has inspired you, I found heroes in my life. Like Danny Meyer or Martin Luther King Jr. or people, Pelé, or people that inspire me to become the best version of myself. So I think TED Talk itself is just a beautiful vehicle. You're adding value. These people are going out there, and dedicating the time to share something with you.
Mm.
Even the post that I shared today, it's important to share, knowing that having the knowledge is one thing, share your knowledge with everybody. So I think that, companies have the responsibility, the big major companies, of, inspire. Do something for the community that is going to embrace people to grow, develop, but it's also up to you to become that person. You got to be working towards it. So I think, TED Talk was a good vehicle to get the word out, and really it put me in a different position. Even that's why I started Paulo the Tarso Hospitality, because organically everybody was asking me, Paulo, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do that? I wasn't really planning to open Paulo the Tarso Hospitality until I start noticing all these companies. I recently worked with Norton Motorcycles.
Yeah, wow.
Which is incredible to me. I still love the motorcycle as a teenager. And here I am doing keynote speech for them and a lot of, blue chip companies that I work with today.
Yeah.
It was because of this vehicle. So I think the universe transpired there to help me with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's well deserved, from what I'm seeing.
Thank you.
And also, I'm just so shocked we've never met each other.
It's like
we must have been in like similar spaces. So.
Same rooms.
So, yeah. That's really weird. Really weird. So last couple of things were just for anyone that's struggling in hospitality right now or looking to go into hospitality, was there any sort of quick thoughts or tips to either keep them going or for them to take the leap into it?
Yes, I think long time ago, in order for you to go to, let's say, a commie, a busboy, to a general manager, that gap was 12, 14 years. Mm. I think now it's that gap, you can shoot that in 6 to 8 years quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at what general managers, directors are earning today, it's an incredible life. Yeah. You've got to understand, it is long hours, yeah. Work-life balance, sometimes when you're a general manager, you really can have, you've got to be hands-on all the time. You've got to understand that's going to be a lot of hard work and commitment in order for you to achieve what you need to achieve. You know, even CEOs of companies are working crazy hours. It's part of life. So I will find a company that has the same values. You know, you need to have the values in life. You know, integrity. Empathy. Work ethic. You've got to have those things. But also, find a company that. This is what I used to do when I used to find the company that I want to work for. Go inside, ask for a seat, eat. After you eat, leave, and then go again. See how many people make you feel. If they make you feel good, if you had a good service, you had good food, ask for the general manager's if he has a second for you, and then fill up your application. Mm. If you feel good where you go to that place.
Yeah.
And then when you start from whatever position is, even if it's from the bottom, have a target. Work 6 months and go, look, I'd like to be a waiter. And then I would like to be a head waiter. Listen, I really would like to learn, cross-training. I used to do cross-training all over. And the reason I did cross-training, because you never know when a barista, this is what happens in big restaurants like Barbalu. We're incredible restaurants. And sometimes I'll order my coffee and the coffee didn't taste right. I'm like, why is the coffee doesn't taste right?
Oh,
the barista didn't show up. Or someone else is making coffee. But no, you can't have this person that never made coffee before. It's a simple example.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to be trained before. So when you work for a company, find out what their values are and tell that person, whoever interview you, that you like to grow and you like to develop.
Yeah.
And if that growth and develop is part of what they do, great. If it's not, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You need to be, you give 100% to the company, but they need to be giving back to you. Whatever study courses it is, I was very fortunate to be a Mandarin Oriental and I studied there and I did a senior management program, which was incredible. So there's always reading a book. There's always picking something up. There's always listening to a podcast, listen to a TED talk, but always don't forget to develop yourself.
Yes.
You got to develop yourself. It's an armor. You got to look after yourself. Well, you're not good at something. Nobody's born good at anything.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a muscle. You're developing a muscle. So you go into hospitality. Same, I train retail companies now. Mm. How often you go to a gallery in Mayfair and you walk through and back and nobody says hello to you?
Yeah.
I wonder why you're not selling that artwork.
Yeah.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you? My name is Paulo, sir. If you have any question in regards to any of the artwork or anything, please, I'm right here. Just reach out.
Mm.
Don't talk about the weather. Don't talk about things. Don't follow someone all the way through the store. Speak to them.
Yeah.
Communication skills.
Yeah.
But whatever you're not good at, if you're not good at finance, if you're not good at your P&L, look, I'm not good at the P&L. I love to be a manager. How can I learn this? How can I take this on? So I think that it comes from you also. You can't just wait for people to do things for you. You need to have the know-how of going and knocking the manager's door, say, look, I want to learn this.
Yeah.
And in our world, you get busy all the time. And sometimes, it's the busy season from October to December is hard to learn anything. But you gotta make sure that you're asking for. You're constantly asking for, I want to develop. And right now, the hospitality world, we're going through struggles, but there's a lot of great companies out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful hotels doing right things. There's a lot of, training and facilities that will provide that for you. And if you're really focused, you can develop. And listen, if you wanted to open your restaurant one day, there is no better training. They're training you for that. And then open your shop and don't start big, start small.
Yeah. And also, working in hospitality just makes you better as a person, right? And being humble enough to serve someone and, all these things. So, really recommend it to anyone. A couple of things in was just to say, what is sort of next for you? And if people want to get in touch, just you know, how you can, you know, how you can help them really, and what you're focusing on for people.
Perfect. I'm working with a few projects right now. One is a project I can't really talk about, but it's a dream project that is going to be involved with chefs and restaurants and fun stuff. And I've been asked to start my own podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, yeah. I just recently did a podcast, a serious podcast, really? Everything About Hospitality with Stelios. And he kindly asked me if I would host a few shows.
Wow.
I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to.
You'll be great. No, yeah. you'll be fine. Yeah, absolutely. It's great fun. Yeah. Great fun.
So I'm going to try. And then, but you know, I'm helping companies with, you know, building cultures, service, you know, restaurants come up to me and they're, you know, whatever's happening, menus, you know, I work with five-star hotels. So the consulting is amazing. I miss being on that floor and you know, it's once you're a player and you become a coach and you always want to be there. But the Paulo Tarso Hospitality is doing a few projects and I'm doing, you know, a few keynote speeches and talking about hospitality and podcasts like this.
Right.
But there's a lot of fun things coming up.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm excited for you. I think that'll be amazing.
And to get a hold of me, you know, my Instagram is Paulo de Tarso, at Paulo de Tarso 24. My LinkedIn is Paulo de Tarso, and all my information is there if you ever want to get a hold of me.
Great. Cool. Well, a couple of quick last quick fire questions for some fun. So, favorite city to eat in?
Look, I love Paris. I love London, of course. But there's something about Paris. I was there a few months ago and just walked in this little restaurant, and the food was amazing. And the service was impeccable. And when I got the bill, I couldn't believe how cheap and reasonable it was. I was literally shocked. Not to criticize, but I feel that the prices in London has gone. It's anywhere you go is $125, $150 per person, and you know, I think a lot of restaurateurs are being reactive. You can't do this. I understand that we've gone through Brexit and COVID and everything else, and I know you have a high rent, but you're charging me £60 for a plate of pasta is not okay.
Yeah.
So I think I love Paris. I love the hospitality that they have. It's ingrained to their body and spirit, and they are really respected. I hope that our government will respect us one day the way we deserve. Paris is my favorite place.
Well, we'll find out. Budget today, isn't it? But
yeah, exactly.
I don't think there'll be much in it. But anyway, let's see. favorite hotel.
Look, I love Mandarin Oriental because I was with them for 6 years. I love the customer service they provide, but I go to Cotswold all the time.
Oh.
And I love the Dormy House, and it's one of my favorite places. We spend a lot of time in the Cotswold, and I love there.
Nice. Favorite coffee shop.
I'm old school, and I love Bar Italia.
Yes.
And Soho.
Agree.
You know, it's you go there and you get it's just delicious coffee, and I love what they do there. They always smile on their faces. Yeah. They've been there since, I don't know. It's
forever. It's
1944.
Yeah, it's like mid 1900s for sure. If I'm in that area, that is absolutely the place I'll go. And if usually I hope it's nice weather, get a cappuccino at breakfast time, just sit outside. I maybe have two. Actually, it's just the boxing photos on the walls and the big cash register, and you know, it's just fantastic. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I can have my coffee standing or just watching people. You sit there and you just like. You know, and that is so, you know, going back to what we talked about, being home, you're never going to witness
yeah.
that, you know?
Yeah, no, hard it's, degree.
I love that. Yeah.
And a favorite bar and pub or pub?
Look, I love the Connaught Bar.
Yep.
I think those guys, I used to take my staff there every year. For them to see the creativity that goes behind making a proper cocktail.
Yeah.
You go anywhere there and now, and people charge you £25 for a drink that is not worth £5.
Yes.
So I think professionally they do an incredible job. You know, I'm going to, Bob is Devonshire. Those guys, Ashley Palmer Watts is doing an incredible job.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm my hat is off to him and his team. I went there recently. I love Ash. He's a close friend, and I'm really proud of him. And I love what they're doing there. So
yeah. I'm actually hoping to pop in tonight. Funnily enough, O'Sheen was meant to be on the podcast this afternoon, but I need to go to the dentist for something. So I need to get done. So I've had to cancel because I'd be all numb.
No, yeah, exactly.
So I'll catch him hopefully next couple of weeks, touch wood. And I'm staying in Soho this evening. So I might try and pop in actually.
No, tell him I send my love.
Yeah, I will. I shall. Absolutely.
Yeah, you gotta go. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of pints in there already, but I haven't managed to eat there yet, but I'll get there. And then is there a favorite restaurant in London?
Look, I'm gonna go.
In general,
yeah. No, I have to go. I'm very fond of Scott's. You know, I was there for a few years. This is what I love. You know, when you're building a company, when you're building anything, for me, is about longevity.
Mm.
You know, you build it for the next 50 years.
Mm.
You know, I go to a lot of restaurants now that I look at the menu and there's nothing I want to eat.
Mm.
The prices are way too high. Yeah. It's just you go to Scott's. You know what to expect. You're going to get the service, you're going to get the food, and you're going to get that delicious Dover sole that nobody else makes it as good, you know? So I love that place, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite places that I go to.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just, you know, good old classic service and menu just doesn't go out of style, does it? It's just phenomenal.
Exactly. You know, it's perfect. You know exactly what you're going to get. And I think, you know, that's why we are loyal. Like, you know, you go to the same hairdresser, you try to go to the same dentist, you got your same doctor, because you get there, you know what is, even if you're in a bad mood, you know, they're going to give you that energy that you need.
No,
you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I'll love you and leave you and I'll get myself off to the dentist. But thanks so much for spending time. And obviously, thanks to Sarah Clark for hooking us up in the first
place. Yes, thank you, Sarah.
Which was so kind of her.
Yeah, no, really, she's incredible.
She's,
I love what she's doing. I wish I had a coach like that when I was 15 years old.
Yes.
She's something really special about her. She's brilliant.
No, she's smart. I'm having a few sessions with her at the moment, and what's quite cool is, I mean, obviously she knows what she's doing, but she's also knows me too, so it's just kind of, in, you know, it's quite good actually, because she can kind of call me out if, you know, she'll be like, well, because, you know, we sort of go back a few years, so that's really nice, you know, you feel nice and safe and you can share things, you know.
That's what, you know, that's why it's so important in hospitality or anywhere, you know, you have your managers, you know, coaching your head waiters, coaching your chef de rons, and it's got to be a system that you have to have in place.
Yeah.
You know, I every time I sit with her, I'm so inspired.
Yeah.
And for the young people out there, you got to look for someone that can call you out when you're not behaving properly. It can call you out when you're doing something right or wrong, you know, and, it's so important to have that. I'm very fortunate that I have Denny Meyer and I have Daniel Boulud and I have so many great people that I can call on. But Sarah has been a blessing in my life. She's brilliant.
Brilliant.
And
all right.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you. I love your show. And I think you're doing an incredible job. And God bless.
Yeah, bless you. Thanks so much. Take it easy. And hopefully I'll get to see you in person soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah, let's have lunch.
Yes, I'll do that.
I love that.
Thanks, Paolo. Cheers. See you later.
Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So what about that? Great, great, sunny, shiny positivity from Paolo Di Tarso. So definitely look him up on LinkedIn and Instagram. Also, do watch his fantastic TED Talk. If you just put in Paolo Di Tarso, then you'll be able to watch this amazing video, about 20 minutes or so, where he's talking about his life's journey and climbing Kilimanjaro and all about his family, and he gets quite emotional a couple of times as well, so well worth a watch. So thanks, Paolo, for making the time. You made my day better, and as I say, I'm really glad that we're now connected, and I'm sure there'll be some fun times ahead.
This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. Just visit vitamojo.com/supersonic and get in touch with the team right away. That's vitamojo.com/supersonic. So this is me, Mark McSee, signing off for another podcast, and I'm really looking forward to the next time we're together. Next time, we'll hear from many, many more interesting people with top tips, tricks, and tales that will make your brand boom.